All right. Praise the Lord. We live in a nation. This is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Amen? I mean, compared to the rest of them. You know, that you could do. You could compare your nation to another one. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. I mean, that's pretty worthless, you know, because they're all like you and you're all like them. But comparing nations, the freedom that we have had in this nation up to this point has been a tremendous blessing and a boon to the gospel of Jesus across the world. Amen? So, but today, we're seeing a lot of changes in our nation which are moving away from the covering that we've enjoyed. The covering. Now, I'm not saying the covering against. Many people are into, like, judgment. Well, dear God, God's going to judge America. Well, guess what? Judgment is already here. You know why? Judgment is upon sin. And when sin happens, how many know judgment is not really far behind? Now, sometimes you don't see it, but when people are in the midst of sin, it's got its own judgment. Right. I mean, you've sinned before, right? I won't look. Go ahead. You've sinned before? Yeah. Okay, so you have. So now, and how many know that there is judgment already in that sin? I mean, have you experienced that before? I mean, it's just like, ouch, don't stop. You know, like the flames are already on your toes. Because the reason that is because God has put judgment in the world. He's put judgment. Sin has its own judgment. Amen? Romans 1 talks about that barring, you know, any of the other things that we pick out, Romans 1, 4, Romans 1 talks about the fact that sin has its own judgment in itself. It talks about how sin, it's the recompense of reward that is due. So it's just built in. If you cross against the light, what happens? You know, you certainly run the great risk of being run over. You know, there are certain consequences to disobeying laws. Some of them are quick. Some of them maybe not so quick. You know, there are consequences to, drug abuse. There are consequences to illicit intimacy. There are all kinds of consequences that take place, whether social or physical. And so all of these things, and this nation today, through legislation, through judicial fiat, is judicial decision, is opening the door to what God has said is sin. And so therefore, we run great risk of affecting the entire nation and its ability to be a leader, to be a light as a nation. Now you and me, because of Jesus Christ in ourselves, Jesus Christ is not in the nation. Okay? Jesus, the sense of a Christian nation has to do with the people. The sense of a Christian nation does not have to do with the documents. Okay? Are we a Christian nation? Well, are the people Christian? That's the question. A Christian nation is because of the people. You know, the nation that followed the Lord in the times of the Hebrews, at the times of the Jews, in the kings, the days that the kingdom prospered were the days that the king and the leadership followed the Lord. What happened to the nation when the nation turned against the Lord and began to worship who they wanted to worship, do what they wanted to do? Not because God was mad and he was upset that he didn't have the top billing anymore. That's not God's thing. God's thing is not about having the top billing. God's thing is about you. Huh? God's thing is about you. God's thing was about Israel. Who's Israel now? Not in the sense of historical Israel, but grafted in Israel. That is the purpose for the law, the sacrifices, and ultimately the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are grafted in Israel. God picked Abraham out of the nations to create for himself a people, to deliver to the world a deliverer. I mean, he didn't pick the Jews, he basically made the Jews. He created them because he picked a man who would do what? Who would believe. God picked a man who would believe, and he created from that man a people. He picked one man out of the earth to save the entire planet. A guy named Noah, you remember him? God picked him, not because he was wonderful, but because he trusted God. One man had faith, And he trusted God. That's us. Not because we're great, but because we believed. But because we said amen when God said come, we said okay. Because we didn't have anything. We didn't have anything better. We had no other options. Or maybe you have options, but they're not viable. They're not hopeful. They're not good. They don't have any fruit to them. Or maybe you found out over time that those options had no fruit to them. Yeah. And you were kind of beat up for a while. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to give an example. Starting out in Genesis 1, I'm going to read a few scriptures. I want to read a few scriptures about marriage. Again, we talked about this. I talked about this with you a couple of weeks ago. And just wanted to bring this to your attention again. Just what the Word of God says. And you can weigh it against the direction the nation is taking today. Genesis chapter 1 and then Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4. All right. Yeah, well, we'll start with one. I'm just going to hit a piece of four chapters. Okay. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Look down at verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Move over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. Genesis 2, verse 20 through 25. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, now, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Move on to chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. To Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. He blessed that relationship. He blessed that union. And chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So in those chapters, 1 through 4 in Genesis, we see a progression of the creation of God and the creation of how society begins to reproduce itself. Is through that relationship, that marriage, that joining between a man and a woman. That's God's order, that's God's purpose. Anything else is, as he has spoken and covered in other areas of Scripture, everything else is sin. What I want to do is bring you the positive is what God created. Is what God created. And as a nation, as a planet, my goodness, that's why you're here. Amen? That's why you're here. You can't get here any other way. Nature does not allow that. Maybe you could crop up some kind of science, but I want to tell you, there was a story about a guy who decided he was going to be able to create life create a man, you know. And he said, okay, God, I know what to do, and I know how to do this, and so I'm going to create a man. He said, okay, good. Let me see how this works out. And the guy says, okay, first of all, I need to go get some dirt. And she goes out and digs up a little. Y'all probably heard this before. It's been told millions of times. And he went out in the backyard and started digging up in the ground. Got him a little pile of dirt and came back in with it. I'm just telling it the way I want to. And he comes back in and he says, okay, now we've got this dirt. And God says, well, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. No matter what man tries to start with, he can't do anything. He has no resources. What God gave you is all you have. Amen. Even if all you've got is dirt, who made the dirt? Said, I can read it to you. It said, God caused the dry land to appear. Amen? He caused the dry land to appear. That guy would have been swimming looking for dirt unless God had made that dry land appear. There wouldn't have been any way. So just because you have a wonderful idea, it always comes from God. Any wonderful idea comes from God. Any resource you have to perform comes from God. You didn't create anything. So the Bible says God created the world ex nihilo, out of nothing. You know, the laws of mass and energy do not apply unless God creates that law. He creates every law. So the law of energy that matter just changes form. You know, matter is never destroyed, it just changes form. You blow it up and it becomes gas or something. You know, not in God's case. God created it all. He created physics as we know. He created everything that there is. So when he creates a law in the earth, it's for your benefit and for your blessing. It said here at the end of chapter, what did we say? At the end of chapter 1, he said, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Well, let's see. Maybe I need to tweak this or tweak that. No? You know, you're creating software programs. Everybody knows, you know, we have a friend of ours who was creating a software program, and they would do what they call issues with software programs. Anybody know anything about programming and programming applications and developments? You have issues. Well, creating the program is about that long. Creating the issues is about here from here to the wall. Fixing the issues and getting the program to do what you thought you wanted it to do, that's the problem. And that's our problem, is we're trying to figure out the way things to do. The programmer knows exactly what to do. In fact, God knew how you were built and knew how you were created. He knew exactly what you are. He knew exactly what you needed. He knew exactly what to do. And we decided we would do something else. You remember there was a tree in the garden. There was a tree in the garden called the tree of the, that God called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, don't eat of that tree. In fact, Adam, when he was talking to his wife, he says, honey, don't eat of that tree. In fact, don't touch it. Now, you wonder how I know that. It's because when the serpent started talking to Eve, she says, God said, don't eat it, neither shall you touch it. Well, God didn't tell Adam that. You know, our recorded history doesn't say that God told Adam that. I think Adam just added that to help her out. Honey, don't eat it, don't touch it. Just stay 10 feet away from that tree. Because I know if you get close to that tree, it looks good. And, you know, I know you like sweets. And it just looks wonderful, you know. But sure enough, you know, we all know what happened. But that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what it does is it gives you the idea that you can decide. That you can have understanding. You can have a hand in deciding your fate. Well, obviously they did, and that was not a great idea. You know, God, all he wants you to do, he didn't want to withhold you. He said, you may eat of any of the trees. Any of the trees in the garden. Any of them. Anywhere. You know, the garden could have actually been bigger than you think. You know, well, it was in Mesopotamia. Maybe it was about 10 miles square. Oh, you know, maybe the garden was everywhere but that one tree. Maybe you could have been eating trees in China. You could have been eating trees in India. You could have been going all over the world. Just don't, just this little 5 foot square, don't do that one. You know, you can eat of any of the trees, anywhere. God really is not a restrictive guy. Huh? He just says, don't do the one that I asked you not to. You know, can you do that? And it's not because I'm mad at you or I'm trying to trick you. It's that because I love you. But it has to be there. It has to be there. Because, if you know, if that tree hadn't been there, nobody would have a choice. They just had to do what God said. If that tree had been there, well, God didn't give me a choice. He did too. He said, here's everything, but just don't do that one. Because I love you. And then here comes this guy. Slithering guy. Snake guy. A guy who hates you. How can we do stuff that the guy who hates us asks us to do? We don't know we're loved. Okay? Amen. Amen. And who told you that? That same guy. The Lord. No, I mean, who told you you weren't loved? He said it right there. He said, the devil told him. He said, God doesn't like you. In fact, he knows that if you eat of this tree, he knows if you eat of that tree, you'll be like him. And he don't like that. He doesn't like anybody to be like him. So we have a liar who is lying to us, who tells us that God doesn't love us. You ever heard that? You know, like Susan was saying, you know, that's what the enemy wants to tell you, that God doesn't love you. You ever heard that before? Yeah, a lot. It's all the day, every day. Every time I mess up, the enemy tells me, well, God doesn't love you. God's mad at you. Absolutely not. In fact, he gave everything for you. He absolutely loves you. His absolute desire is to give you everything. He wants you to follow him, to hear him, to listen to him, so that when you hear, you will have exactly what you need. Now, you're living in a world which is in dire straits because the entire world has gone after flesh. The entire world has gone after their own desires. The entire world has gone after knowledge. The knowledge of good and evil. Well, see, I can decide. No, you can't. You don't have all the information. How many know that your kids, when they are growing up, they don't have all the information, and you kind of have to give it to them, right? You have to give them the information because they will just do all kinds of crazy things. They'll take a toy and be banging another kid on the head. You know, you have to kind of teach them, no, we don't do that. And sometimes you teach them that, you know, with a little nudge. Just to get their attention so they stop. Huh? And so God, I'm not saying God is coming after you, but what I'm saying is this is God, there are things that God does not stop when there are consequences involved. He does not, there are things at times, and it's his decision, that he does not stop. I'm a man of faith, man. I'm a word of faith man. Love Jesus, love God, know that God's always for me and always with me and but the fact is that if you live in a world that's fallen and you sin, there are consequences. Well, I talked about it before. There are consequences in this world that just come along. And sometimes God doesn't stop them. And then you cry out, hey, God! You know, it's kind of like the kings in the Old Testament. You read the kings, books of the kings, the Chronicles, and, you know, Samuel, the nation of Israel. And you see how God works with his people. You know, sometimes here comes a guy and God doesn't stop the guy. You know, God doesn't stop that rogue nation, that bad nation from coming in and beating you up. And what does God want you to do? What does he tell you to do? He tells them over and over again, call out to me. Call out to me. Why? Because it reminds you that you are not in charge. You're not in control. It's not the fact that God doesn't want you to be in control. He wants you to be in control under him. He wants you to rule under him. What did he tell Adam and Eve here? He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over all the creation. He said, he wants you to have dominion over his creation, not over other creations. they have dominion, you know, over their little venues, right? So you're not to have dominion over people. People are not to have dominion over each other. We're to be in dominion over creation in our on our little 9 acres. Don't take that literally. Just 1 acre, 10 acres. It's not. I'm not trying to tell you how much acreage you can have. All right, you can have 100 acres. That's fine. In Texas, you can have 320, 640, or what's the other one? 1,200. You multiply 1,280. So you can have any number. That's okay. God doesn't care. He's not against you. He loves you having everything you need, all the area you need to spread out. All right? He just needs you to hear from Him. He needs you to hear from Him. That's it. Now, you may not like that idea in your flesh. I'm telling you, in your flesh. I'm describing to you who you are. In your flesh, because you have the nature of sin, which is, says, I'm going to run this show. But the nature of God is to submit to God. The nature of God is to submit to God. Just like it's the nature of man and woman to be in an order. They're not less valuable than one another. It's just an order. There's an order. It's just an order. It just works. There's an order for reproduction. That's the order that works. Again, you know, we go back to the Supreme Court decision. You can't do that. Say it. You can't do that. Oh, it's good to hear. Somebody's with me. Yeah, I mean, how many know it doesn't work? You know, again, you know, we go back to the science of it. You know, it doesn't work. You know, you don't even have the right equipment. You know, and what you're trying to do is go to a scientist and a chemist and, you know, have that. I got news for you. If you lose the electricity, you can't do that. Think about it. You lose if you don't have electricity, what happens? I mean, you know, you couldn't even do that reproduction in the test tube thing. You know, I mean, what I'm telling you is there's no nature in it, right? There's no nature in it. You're circumventing. You're circumventing the creation. I mean, at the beginning, they didn't have anything. I mean, it just had one man, one woman. And that's all it took to create 1 million people. Huh? Amen. Praise God. That's how the world worked. That's how the creation works, is that reproduction is done in only one way, in nature. Not just people, but, you know, critters, all of them, you know. And the Bible talks about the fact that the seed of everything, even plants and animals, even plants, you know, the seed of the thing is in itself. You know, it's not somewhere else. You don't pull it out of here and put it in here. And again, I'm not against science, but circumventing God, because what that does is create more consequences. All right? Praise the Lord. God's good. God's good. I want us to turn over to First Thessalonians chapter 5. Basically, that was just kind of a kind of an introduction to let you rejoice. Yeah, Susan.
Just on that, I believe those people that are trying to get approval from man, they really want approval from God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They're seeking approval from God, but they're trying to get a replacement and seeking approval from man.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's it. That's good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Essentially, that introduction is just to tell you about the world that we're living in. Amen? How do I deal with that? Jenny asked this the other day, like a couple of weeks ago. Now, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with somebody? I've got somebody coming over or somebody staying with us. You know, is you do exactly that. You have them come stay with you. You love them. You bless them. You give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody who is... does not know the Lord in the true sense, that is being transformed into that same image, the image of Jesus Christ, and having forsaken sin and rebellion against God because of the simplicity of the Word of God. We love them. We walk with them. I mean, the scripture is clear both in the Old and the New Testament as far as the nature of intimate relationships. And so we walk according to the knowledge of Scripture. What God has said, that's what we walk according to. We don't guess. We don't make it up as we go. We don't depend upon our feelings. There's a lot of feelings people have. Amen? There's a lot of feelings that people have, a lot of things that we make our decisions on what we do based on our feelings, right? Huh? And so many of those decisions, anybody find out? I mean, a lot of times we drink, a lot of times we take drugs, a lot of times there are people who are bound by intimate relationship troubles. I look around, you know, for young people when I'm talking. It's because I don't know where parents are and how far they've gotten on talking to their children. So, but I don't see any young children here right now. Parents, you got one in your lap or something? Oh, you? Okay. Well, I'll try to be gentle. But sexual intimacy can be a problem for even heterosexual people. They can't get along and they fall into sin. They're looking for a relief of something that is missing because they don't know God. Whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's anything that takes your mind off of you. And so in this case, obviously, it's just another version of the sexual, need and bondage. Those relationships are because you don't know God. You don't know the love of God, the love of the living God. All right? And the Word of God tells us that in the end days it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And the wickedness of man rose up before the throne of God. And God said, you know, this is not going to function any longer. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, let's look at that. But of the times and seasons, brethren, that's everybody, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. How many women know, you know, you don't escape? That baby's coming, and there's nothing stopping it. So you make it through that. For when they shall say, peace and safety, interesting. Who are they? Okay. Liars or the deceived, the world, hoping for that peace will come, hoping we've got it tied up in such a way that maybe it'll hold on for another afternoon, just, you know, barely. Peace and safety. We got it. Hold your breath. Don't mess it up. You know what? We'll kill people who'll mess it up too. Don't you know that? I'm telling you. That's why we do that. See, people get killed for messing up the plan. Do you realize that? I mean, all over the world, people get killed for messing up the plan. You are messing up the plan. We got to. I love you, but we're having to do away with you. Huh? Because you're going to mess it up. You know. Jesus was bad at messing up that plan. I mean, he was, you know.
He took care of it.
Yeah, he did. And it's all taken care of, but the problem is people don't want to let go. You know. Peter, come to me in the water. Okay. But then he began to see the waves boisterous. So he began to quit looking at Jesus, even though there was all kinds of stuff going on. Like we're talking about Peter. Out of the boat. I know I move around a lot. I'm small, but I'm agile. He was out of the boat. He gets out of the boat. All the waves all around. And he begins to look at the waves instead of Jesus. Now, he walked out on the water looking at Jesus. Okay, here we go. And, I mean, he boldly walked out on that water. He boldly walked. How many believe Jesus walked on the water? I mean, well, Jesus and Peter. You know, the big thing is not Jesus. The big thing is Peter actually walked on the water. And then he goes out there, and he's out on the water, and then he begins to see the waves boisterous, the waves wind blowing, and he begins to look at them, and they get his attention, because how many know the enemy loves to get your attention? Hey, 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 look over here. You know, you're looking at Jesus, and this guy's over here going, hey. You know, this guy, you remember? Stop there. Remember that. Remember where we are. Okay, don't let me forget. We're with Peter on the water looking at the waves. All right? He quit looking at Jesus. He's looking at the waves. Now, another boat story. You remember when they're in the boat, they're going to the other side, and they see this wild man on the shore. Right? Yeah. And then, you know, of course, they're looking at Jesus, listening to Jesus. They're riding in the boat, getting fixed, heading to the shore. And they see this guy out on the shore in chains, naked, and he's quite a sight. And, you know, and of course, you know, what do the disciples do? Jesus, look at that! But Jesus is in the middle of chapter 1, and you know, they're going, Jesus, look at that! Because the enemy loves to get your attention with something that has absolutely nothing to do with what God's fiction is trying to show you. He will distract you. You ever been distracted? Huh? I have. About you. But when you're distracted from God's word, you're distracted from God's plan, you're distracted from his love by a circumstance that looks like God doesn't love you, then you begin to think God doesn't love you. Because you're no longer in his presence. You're now in the presence of your problem. You have moved. They were sitting in the boat listening to Jesus, and the next moment, for all intents and purposes, they were on the shore with that freaky guy. And they could see the way the boat was headed. He was heading right for that guy. Okay? So he was heading right for that guy. And you go like, you know, when you think Jesus is going to lead you into something that you're not prepared for, then you get a little bit upset. Huh? You ever notice that? Jerry, you ever notice that? Is that when Jesus is leading you something that you don't think you're prepared for, you might get a little bit nervous, might get a little bit upset. Logan knows that. And a lot of times when he leads you, he's leading you into something that looks like it's nothing, and you're looking for something. Maybe Jesus, there's nothing over there. Yeah, I know. It's okay. Just go on over there anyway. Well, I've been here for a week, and there's still nothing here. It's okay. You just sit there because I told you to. You just do, just pray, just love me, just bless the Lord, just sing, just give thanks. I know exactly what's going on. I know who's coming down the road, and I know when. See, Jesus has all the plan. The Father has all the plan. He knows exactly who's coming down which road when. Now, he's better than an air traffic controller. Man, those guys have got it. They've got stuff. You know, they know exactly which plane is coming. They keep them from, you know, hitting each other, and they make sure they land. Jesus is going to make sure you land, unless you decide to jump ship early. Then he's got to go, oh, great, send out a life preserver, send out the patrol. They jump ship early. Anybody ever jump ship early? I have. I mean, it's like all of a sudden send out the ambulance. Somebody jumped out in front of the light, but didn't wait till it turned, because somebody was coming at you, you know, somebody's coming up behind you. So you ran. Okay? What am I telling you? Listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the Word of God. Walk according to... Now, I'm not talking about don't sin in the sense of, all right, don't sin or God won't like you. No, that's not the point. The point is, walk according to the Word of God, so that you will walk in the blessing of God, in the favor of God, in the love of God, in the peace of God. Amen? Learn, and that's learned. That is learned. Isaiah 28:10 says, "Line upon for the word of the Lord was unto me, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little." In other words, you didn't get it all at once. You're learning, aren't you? Amen? You're learning. Because how many of you were raised in this world, on this planet? You learned how to... Anybody raised on Mars? Or Pluto? I guess that's not a planet anymore. Did y'all hear that? Bulletin? Yeah. Pluto's no longer a planet. That really messed me up. You know. I think my girls... Was Pluto a planet when y'all were in school? It was? You yes, you no. They killed it before that. Oh, okay. See, they messed that up, even after you. That's amazing. But all of these things is that you're raised here in this world and you learn how to respond in this world, don't you? You learn how to respond in this world to things. You know, somebody punches you, you punch them back. You know, you learn how to defend yourself in this world. You learn how to do all that. And maybe that was wrong. Does anybody know how to do judo? But I don't know how to do that. But you learn how to defend yourself, and a lot of times you're stupid in the way you defend yourself. You don't know anything. But you know what? God has made provision for you in His Word, in His presence, so that when you listen to Him, He will lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. You want to let the Lord make the distinction in you that though you were raised in this world, you've been adopted by somebody else. You're now in another family. So you have to distinguish yourself from that other family. You know, a lot of kids who grew up in bad, bad situations have stuff in their head that determine how they respond, you know, to stress or to circumstances or situations. And guess what? So do you. However you were raised, however things began in your life and however things went wrong in your life, that's typically how you respond, just to protect yourself until you begin to let the Word of the Lord transform you and change you so that you're listening to Him and you're being transformed and you're walking according to His response. Jesus, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. Sermon on the Mount, when a guy tells you to give up your coat, don't punch him. Give him your cloak also. Jesus was talking about all kinds of stuff that just doesn't even work. It doesn't work because you're not built that way, right? You're not built that way. But God has built you that way through His Spirit. He has transformed you. He has changed you. He has made you brand new. Amen? So powerful. Learn to walk in His presence. Learn to listen to the Spirit of God. That's what we're talking about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When they shall say, see, I jumped off of this, peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction upon them. In other words, when they have decided this is how we're going to maintain our peace and safety, they're mistaken. They're mistaken. Amen? They're mistaken. They don't know what they're doing. You don't know what you ever heard that before in the Scripture? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And this is just one example. And he could have said, and this is just one example. They're killing the Savior. But it's not the only example. Amen? It almost kind of makes you think Jesus kind of thought of that. He wasn't even talking about what was happening now. It was just like a thought. You know, before you go to heaven. Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. And then sudden destruction comes upon them because they didn't know what they were doing. Mixing up the thing, you know, and all of a sudden, boom! It's kind of like a little chemistry set with a little kid, you know. Okay, Mom, Dad, look, boom! What was that? Those TV shows where the guy would blow himself up, or like the Three Stooges, they'd blow themselves up, you know. They're still alive walking around, their black face, and, you know, they do it again. That's what we do. We just keep living and keep doing it again, doing it over and over and over and over. But listen to this verse 4. It's going to describe you. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, but it's not going to overtake you as a thief, because you have an expectation that the living God is coming. He's coming for you. He's coming to deliver you and take you home. Amen? So it infers there, then, that back up, those that are, you know, that he's coming as a thief in the night, that those folks who are surprised are in darkness. But you are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You are, in fact, in the converse, you are all children of the light. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those who are in Christ Jesus. You brethren, like the same brethren, four. You brethren are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Okay, you need to take those scriptures, you need to take those words, and you need to apply them to yourself in a regular fashion. Okay? Especially when your mind begins to tell you that maybe you are deceived. Maybe I am deceived. Maybe I am of the darkness. Maybe I've just sinned too much. Lies. Remember that guy who came into the garden and talked to Eve? Same guy's talking to you today. Same. He's got the same five lines. The enemy has the same five lines he uses to deceive everybody. I'm just making it up. Make it five lines. It might be four lines. He's got the same lines that he uses to deceive. And it works every time. I mean, it's worked for, 6,000 years. Or it's worked for 10 million years if you're a long creation person. I'm not going to fight you on that today. All right? Therefore, watch this. Therefore, if you are children of the light, children of the day, verse 5, therefore, verse 6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There are others who are in the darkness, and they're just sleeping. But he says, for you, if you're of the light, which I told you you are, let us watch and be sober. Let us watch and be sober. What is he talking about, being sober? For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So don't be drunk and don't be asleep. Watch and be sober. Don't be drunk and asleep. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. For an helmet, the hope of salvation. Ephesians 6, armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. In this day that he's discussing. In the evil day, the day of where the enemy looks like he's got peace and safety going on, and he looks like, hey, look, we finally got it without God. We got it done without God. No, they haven't. For God has not appointed us to wrath. That should give you some comfort. Amen. Now, there may be tribulation. See, if you're a pre-person, we had a gal sharing the other night at our convocation, our ministry meeting that Pastor Jim and I go to each year. And he's talking about whether somebody was pre or post or mid or, wherever you are in the Jesus coming scenario, and says, says everybody who's smart goes for pre, says, okay. Yeah. It's like I tell people, I say, what are you, pre, post, or mid? She said it the other night. I said, I'm going on the first load. Yeah, when Jesus comes, I'm going. And I'm not going ahead of time either. So if somebody comes, remember, because the Bible says that. It says, if somebody comes and says, hey, I'm Jesus. If I'm not off my feet and changed, he ain't Jesus. When he comes, I'm gone and I'm changed. That's the evidence. So I'm not worried about it. I just know this. I'm going on the first load. When Jesus comes, I'm going. But he says this. He says this. The reason I got off into that is that it says, we are not appointed to wrath. You've got seals, you've got trumpets, and then you've got bowls or vials, right? Anybody kind of familiar with the book of Revelation? Well, the bowls and the vials, those are wrath, right? Okay, so the bowls that are poured out are wrath upon the planet, upon the earth. We're not appointed to that. That's not us, so we're gone by then. Okay? Just give you a little get a little rest. You know, we're gone by then. We're in the presence of the Lord by then. Because we're not appointed to wrath, but appointed to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive, still living, or whether we're dead in the ground, that He's coming for us, that we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Don't beat us up. Don't beat up your pastors. And try to behave yourselves. Don't beat up each other. It's not helpful. And be at peace. next piece is be at peace among yourselves. Y'all do pretty good. Anybody hate each other here? You're sitting on a different pew because you don't like so-and-so? Somebody sat in your seat? No. Okay. All right, good. Now, we exhort you, brethren, verse 14, warn them that are unruly. Now, this is talking about living in the end days. These scriptures here are talking about living your life in the end days. Chapter 5, Thessalonians. The thing I told you about the Thessalonian church a while back is that these guys were out making Paul look good. All over Macedonia and Achaia, just all over the Greek peninsula and the, you know, all of those areas. I mean, they were being talked about. The Thessalonians were like, hey, Paul, these guys are yours? Yeah, they're good. Man, they're good. They love everybody. They're out preaching the gospel, you know. In fact, Paul would get to some place and they'd ask him about these Thessalonians. And he was kind of bringing them in as his first testimony, and they beat him to it. Said, man, your people are awesome. You know, and that's what, you know, they tell people about y'all. That's what they tell us about y'all. Man, these people are awesome. That Tim, go. Vicky, wow. Telling us about Jesus, beating us up, showing us our sins, and loving us at the same time. Man, that's important. That is powerful stuff. Giving the truth in what? Love. Truth in love. And that's your demonstration. You're not just wagging your lips. You're actually walking in that. Amen? You're walking in that. Because you know you're wicked. You know you're in your flesh. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. And how many still got one? Yeah? Anybody still got one? I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at your flesh. It may not be looking at me. Some of y'all are looking the other way. Like that girl over there. She's looking the other way. No, sorry. Don't be sad, though. God's forgiven you. Amen. You can talk to your daughter like that. All right. I'll hear about it when I get home. All right. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You want to know about unruly? Grace, I would have talked to Esther, but she was gone. Anyway. All right. We exhort you, warn them that are unruly. You know what that word unruly means? I looked that one up. I can't remember exactly what the Greek word was, but it's just... It was used typically for people who didn't show up to work. That word unruly. People who just didn't show up to work. You know, for one reason or another, lazy or didn't pay attention to the appropriate protocol. You know, warn them that are unruly. Very interesting. Comfort the feeble-minded. That means the faint-hearted. Somebody who, I mean, they're in trouble. Problem, things aren't going their way. It doesn't mean beat them up and be mad at them. It says comfort them. Build them up. Encourage them in the Word of God. Encourage them like I'm encouraging you today. Hope y'all are encouraged today. Are you? I mean, this is good stuff. I'm much better than I was when I walked in. At least I'm built up. I'm encouraged. The Word of God will encourage you. Support the weak. Be patient toward church members. Oh. Be patient to all men. To all, actually it just says all. So be patient toward all. Even the guy down at the counter at the driver's license place. Now I realize they've improved that in some locations. But, you know, be patient toward all. Amen? In other words, you walk in love. You don't just walk in love toward church members. You don't walk in love toward the people you're fixing to, who you're going to end up having to spend a lot of time with, and then the other people who you only see once in a while that you just got to blow up at them. Huh? Be patient toward all men. You don't know where somebody's at. You don't know what effect you're going to have on somebody's life. Because especially when they know the situation is bad and they are just your point of contact, whether it's on the phone or in person, at a store or at a some kind of office or some kind of, you know, work kind of situation. Now, usually we try to keep peace at the office more or less, right? You know, people you're going to see every day. You kind of try to keep that one going along smoothly because you actually have to show up there, and because that's where you make money, make your livelihood. But people, but so many times when people do something, either we're on the phone with them for a particular purpose and it's just a one-time deal, or we're, you want to get, let the Holy Spirit just use you, and you just, you don't even know what it's going to be. You just assume that the Holy Spirit is using you to deliver good news, to deliver love, to bless somebody in the moment. Because that moment may be the thing that they need. That moment may be the thing that they need. You are a vessel of Jesus. Every moment, every day, every hour. Amen? This is who we are. We've been changed, transformed, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, from faith to faith. We're being changed from glory to glory, walking in the liberty that Christ has made us free. See that none render evil for evil to any man. There you have it. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Just repeating what I just said. And now, here's how you walk. Here's how you daily walk. How are we doing? Okay. Here's how you walk. Rejoice forever, evermore. Rejoice all the time. Man, that's tough. Rejoice all the time. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in every circumstance, every day, in every situation. Man, God, I'm not used to doing that. Well, how often do you brush your teeth? Maybe don't answer that. But so your teeth don't fall out, right? You brush them all the time. At least twice a day, maybe more than that. If you eat a lot of caramel or something, yeah. Brush your teeth all the time. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? So your teeth don't fall out, right? Why do you do the things you do bodily, health-wise? And you develop what? You develop habits because you're training yourself to follow after, you know, good teeth. In the same way, you're training your mind to follow after godly habit, right? Exactly. God will move you to do that, but you have to actually get up. In many cases, you have to get up and do it. I know he says in, you know, Philippians 2:13, he says, oh, God is in you both to will and to do it. Well, God's not going to brush your teeth. I don't think. He's never done that for me. But what he does is he wills it, and then you end up doing it, right? It's like that story I've told in Exodus or in Chronicles when they're raising money for the tabernacle or the temple, is God made them willing to give. God, a spirit of willingness on them to give. Same thing in you. God makes you willing. God, make me willing. That's what he wants you to do, is say, God, make me willing. So all of those, for all of those things, make me willing to rejoice. Make me willing to rejoice. Lord, I give you permission. Transform me to a rejoicer. And I'm going to get up and just act like it. I'm just going to get up and act like it. Lord, I rejoice today. I give you praise today. Rejoice evermore, and that'll change you. Brushing your teeth every day, give you clean teeth, and let you keep your teeth. Rejoicing evermore. I don't know how to connect that with teeth. But rejoicing evermore will change you. Amen. It'll make you happy. It edifies your body. Really? Really? Oh, I'm using that. It edifies your whole body, including your teeth. It does. It rejoicing actually changes you. Amen? Inside out. Amen. says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. They're depressed, right? So inside, when righteousness rules, there's rejoicing. When your mind rules, there's depression, right? Because you're looking at your circumstances. You know, I'll tell you what, if you'll rejoice evermore, your circumstances won't bother you. At least they'll begin to bother you less. Because why? You're looking at Jesus and you're not looking at the guy on the shore screaming. You're not looking at that guy. You're not looking at the waves. You're rejoicing because, hey, glory to God, I'm walking on the water. Do you believe you're walking on the water? Huh? Hey, listen, if you're living in this body and rejoicing, you're walking on the water every day. As long as you're walking on, I'm walking on water as long as I'm looking at Jesus. Because I tell you what, I could sink at any moment. Tim? Is that right? I mean, you know, you're out there with people, and coworkers, and
dragging you down.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Hey, brother. What? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God will help you. God will just help you walk and just take you right through. Amen. He will. He'll do it. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's already doing it. You just don't believe it. It's your problem. Amen. It's like, Lord, I believe. You know, the guy wanted to get healed from blindness. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He recognized that there was a disconnect, but he was almost there, but meet me. And you know what? God will meet you. You know He will actually meet you? Come on, come on, come on. Oh, God, I don't think you're going to make it. No, no. God, help my unbelief. Gotcha. And don't determine what the outcome is. Just know that the outcome is God. And it's His love. And it's His peace. See, you don't get to determine the outcome. All you know is God loves you. You don't get to determine the outcome by counting off the five things that you had in your mind. Amen? You determine from the moment that you believe that God is good and He loves me and whatever He's got for me, I want it. How many know your kids are kind of that way? You know, they've got it in their mind. They've figured it out. They've read the catalog. They know exactly what they're looking for, and they want that. And if they don't get that, you didn't love them. Well, maybe my wife, one of them is looking for a 38 special. Well, they're 5 years old. Somehow they need to know that I love them, but I'm not going to give them no 38 special. Well, maybe I'll give it to them, but no ammo. Probably not. Okay, now listen, verse 17, we're probably going to go over these again one day, but this is who you are. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Little caveat, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Judah, in everything. Can you think of one thing you might not give thanks for? He says, in everything, give thanks. Even if it's not what you planned, even if it's mom and dad just kind of didn't hear God and do what you wanted, give thanks anyway. Give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Okay? Tell your sister, give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. That's a big one, boy. We'll have to come back to that one. Just don't quench the Spirit. Pastor, what's that? Don't quench the Spirit. Go ask Him. Have I been quenching you? Well, let's have a talk about that. Come see me at 3. Well, I'm working at 3. It's okay. Just start praying. Start giving thanks. Despise not prophesying. Prove, test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Don't just take anything that comes along. Don't put anything, like a little kid, put anything in your mouth that comes along. There's a bug. You know, that's how kids figure things out. They put it in their mouth. Probably not a good idea. Good thing they got parents. Abstain from all evil. Oh, wait. Somebody got a different translation? All the appearance of evil. Oh, that's what mine says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Man, that gets broad. I mean, all evil is kind of subjective. Well, that's not bad. Isn't it kind of subjective? Evil's subjective to some people. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. What that means is, and the Bible talks about in other places, is that, you know, somebody who's weak, somebody who could eat meat offered to idols, and if you're okay with that because you know it's just a dead idol and it's no big deal, but you've got somebody in this case, in this idol-ridden circumstance, but you do something that's offensive to somebody and causes them to stumble. Well, you know, you could say, well, glory to God, it's my right. I'm American. It's my right to do whatever it is I want to do. Well, yeah, but you just caused that brother to stumble. Was that love? Huh? I mean, do your rights extend to causing another brother to stumble just because they're weak in the faith? I just told you back here in these other verses, 14 and 15, 14 and 15, to take care of your brothers and sisters. Don't just say, you know, hey, glory to God, I'm going to run over you just in the name of, it's my right to do it. That's what you get when you live in America. You get a bunch of Christians who have got a bunch of rights, and they're not going to be subjugated. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is that because God's going to get you? No, that's love. Huh? That's just love, you know. Is there anything wrong with drinking a glass of wine? No. But am I going to do that? No. It's just in the presence of somebody. Because I'm not going to just take liberty that's mine in the name of, you know, because it's mine. I'm going to love you, and it's better for me to abstain because you've got somebody who's weak in that area. Whether or not they believe it. Oh, that's, you know, they can't hear me. Like if I'm talking to a person who's a religious person or a person who's had a difficulty with alcohol and addiction in the past, if I'm in front of somebody who's in that situation, they can't hear me talk about the love of God because they stopped at the door before. They stopped back here because I just interrupted their ability to hear. Why? Well, they shouldn't be that way. I'm sorry, you can't say that. You can't say it's their fault. No, you're the vessel of God. Your job is to love the way Jesus loved, isn't it? Isn't it? That's your job. Your job, that's why you're here, people. I love you. That's why you're here. You're here to love somebody. You're here to bless them. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Bye. I love you. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Everybody say spirit, soul, body. So you got three of those. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. Be preserved. We'll teach about that one day. Be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Now everybody read that with me. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Wow. Oh, you mean all that stuff we read about rejoicing evermore, not despising prophesyings, and praying without ceasing? What did he just say? Faithful is he that called you. Well, I don't know if I can do all that. Who also will do it. So you say, God, I can't do all that. I can't love people like that. Well, I'll do it for you. He said, I'll do it for you. You just come see me. When you're having trouble, come see me. Which is pretty much every day. Come see me. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you that this by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. That's the power of God. That's the mercy of God. That's God's provision for you through the blood of Christ Jesus to be everything that He has designed for you. The grace of God. He's already empowered you to do it. He is in you both to... Really, grace is... If you go back, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Repeat it with me again. You know it. I can't remember it now. He is in you both to will and to do. Say it. He is in me both to will and to do. See, that's grace, isn't it? Isn't that grace? He's in me both to will it and to do it. That's the power of God to overcome me and to demonstrate His love and power toward the entire world. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I hope you're blessed today. Amen. God is good. If you need prayer, let's pray. And if you need to know Jesus, just say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for redeeming me by your blood. And I believe that you rose again from the dead for me. And I want to live in your kingdom. And I turn away from this world. Thank you for giving me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for each one today. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, the living God, leading us, guiding us, causing us to be who you created us to be in this world, to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ until the day of His coming. So that as many as will, as many as who hear, may come. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.